just looking to see how many friends I have here now, okay? So I know which way to go. We have had a wonderful time here this week. We always do. But this has been a wonderful time for us. The fellowship has been sweet. And the Lord's blessings have been bountiful. I have don't know where I've enjoyed it any more here than I have this week. It's been just a wonderful time. And I trust and pray that God's been a blessing to you. The hospitality of the pastor and his precious wife and your leaders of your church and you folks as a whole. This is a tribute on a cloudy, wet, foggy morning to see this many people come. There's still hope for America. Amen. Regardless of what anybody says, there's still hope for America. I personally, because of the fact that I do live in Las Vegas, although we haven't been there since February, and we're planning on going back, hoping to go back by Christmas, and we trust and pray that you'll remember us in prayer. We'll be leaving here, and then we go back to Tennessee for a few days, and then from there to Odessa, Texas, and then from there, I'm not sure yet. I may just change my mind on it to New Orleans, and then down over to Alabama, and up to Kentucky, and then back to Tennessee, and then heading back for Las Vegas. But what I was going to say is, you see, you don't see this kind of weather in Las Vegas. It sunshines all the time. Now, if you think you can't get tired of sunshine all the time, you've got another guest coming. Because after a while, I sit on the porch in Tennessee, and I just watch the rain coming down. And people think I'm crazy, but I just enjoy watching rain because we have about an inch and a half of rain a year out there. So with that, I'll get to the message tonight, this morning. I have tell you the truth, I just totally completely did not know what I was going to say last night. God got a hold of my heart, and I just asked him, I have the message that I was going to speak on, and God had just changed my mind about the whole thing, and I'm going to speak on this morning, and trust and pray it'll be a blessing to you. The preacher said this morning, and did an eloquent job, just an eloquent job, brother. Don't give me that stuff as if you don't like to hear me praise you. You need to be praised. You need to recognize what kind of a preacher you are. And I appreciate his ministry. I've watched him grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, as many of you have, and watched him grow as God has got a hold of his heart, and he loves the Word, and he knows the Word, and that was so well done this morning. I appreciated that. So this morning, I'd like to speak to you on this subject here. As he said, Israel listened, but didn't hear. Uzziah listened, but didn't hear. But Isaiah listened and he heard. And so this morning I'm going to ask you, if you will, by the grace of God, to listen, to hear, then to think. There is an important portion of God's Word here that I think that we all have memorized. We know it well, but we do not know it. And I'm honest with you when I say it, because I'm as guilty as anybody else is. And I don't know when I've ever preached this message, if I have ever preached it. I've got the date of 1965 on it, so that makes probably it almost 40 years old. I don't know how it's going to go, because it's been so long. If I did preach it, I don't know. I have not preached it recently, so you bear with it, all right? And then the next thing I was going to say is that this message is going to be to God's people. And if you see anybody getting up before the service is over, you know they're out of fellowship with God, okay? Hi, John. How are you, old buddy? Good to see you. They're going to have to leave early. The excuse is that they're going to have to take somebody to the airport, and I've heard all the excuses for leaving services, so we'll have to leave it go at that. Love you, brother. And I love your wife through you. You have your Bibles turned to John chapter 14. Very familiar, and yet very unfamiliar. John chapter 14. And as soon as you have found that, would you please stand, and we'll stand for the reading of God's Word. Only 7 verses, it'll not be long. John chapter 14. The writer says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." We know that verse. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you," he says. "And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, thou knowest, and the way thou knowest. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" And then Jesus answered him with this marvelous portion of God's Word. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And he says, if you had known me, you would have known the Father. That's what he says there. If you had known me, you would have known the Father also. And from henceforth, know ye me and have seen me. First three verses are very familiar. But there's a tremendous truth contained in verses 4 through 7, and I'd like to speak on those as my text this morning. Shall we bow our heads for just a moment of prayer? Father, oh, how we look for that day when Jesus will come and take us to be with Him in that place that He has for over 2,000 years been preparing. It's going to be magnificent. It's going to be beyond words. There's no way, humanly speaking, I can comprehend it. But I do know what you said. You said that he that will not suffer will not reign with me. So, Father, this morning, help us to hear as we listen. And then, Father, help us to think, meditate on what you have to say for us here. And we'll be careful to give thee all the praise, for it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. It's been a great conference. It's always such a joy, and I really mean that, to co-speak with your pastor, Brother Pete, and then with Brother Dan at the different conferences. I don't know whether I've enjoyed speaking with men any more than I do with those. There's nobody trying to outdo anybody. We're all trying to see how God can give us one message that ties in with the other. And that's a joy. I go to Bible conferences where they have other speakers, and it becomes a wrestling match. Who's going to say the most sensational thing? And I get tired of that kind of garbage. Somebody says, well, that's because you don't know what the most sensational message could be. Yes, I do. All I got to do is exalt Jesus Christ, and then there's nothing else can beat that. Now, if you got any other ideas on that, you're in the wrong place this morning. But you could be in the right place because you could find Him. My text this morning is found in verse 4 in that portion of God's Word, where he says, where he begins to talk to the disciples, he says, whither I go, ye know, and the way you know. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And there seems to be a paradox there. Who's right? Jesus says you can know the way. Thomas says, I can't know the way. Jesus said, if you had to, I am the way, the truth, and the life, so no man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, and I believe right here as I begin our message here, I believe right here now that it answers the question of what did Paul mean when he said that I may know him. If ye had known me, Jesus said in verse 7, ye should have known my Father also. You cannot find any place in the Scripture where if you know the Father and don't know the Son, that you can have eternal life. And you can't find any place in the Scripture that if you know the Son and don't know the Father, you can't have eternal life. Because the Father and Son are one, even though they have different duties. Jesus Christ is God Almighty. We have the Lord here speaking of His departure. He's getting ready to leave them. And it was a sad time, but he was giving them the reason why he had to leave them. And that alone should have created some joy in their hearts and in their lives. But they didn't really believe who he was. Even though they gave him lip service, they did not honestly know who he was. His return was guaranteed by that purpose. He was going back to the Father's house, and he was going to build a house. And build a place for them, build something for them that was going to be beyond the words. And because he was doing that, that guaranteed that he was coming back. That was very simple. And there would be an eternal, that's proper English, an eternal and perfect reunion with him. But this did not satisfy all their needs. Because they asked the question that I asked when I first got saved. When I first became a Christian at the age, Well, I won't tell you how long. Over, oh, boy. Whew, 52 years this month. When I first became saved, I'd have people come up to me and say, "Brother Mel, sure glad to see you're saved. Boy, bless God, you're going to heaven. Isn't that wonderful?" And I look at the guy and say, "You jerk. Don't give me the stuff about me going to heaven. I know that I'm going to heaven, but I want to know somebody tell me what I'm supposed to do between now and the time that I go to heaven. That's all I'm concerned. I mean, I know I'm going to heaven. You can't take that away from me." "That's all right, brother. You can't take that away from me, but what about between now and the time I go to heaven? What about when I have to bury my babies? And what about if I have to bury my wife? And what if I have to see her in the hospital? And what if I lose my job? And what about those things? Somebody tell me something." "God bless you, Mel. You're saved and you're going to heaven. Well, tell me something I don't know." "You can't take that away from me. I don't care how hard you try. Somebody says, I'll shoot you. Right here, baby. It won't hurt a thing." This didn't satisfy them. "What about the time between your going, Jesus, and the time that you're coming? And I wonder if somehow, way down deep in the bottom of your heart, your life shows no happiness and no joy, and you don't have any real peace because that thing bothers you." And in verse 4, he gives us part of the answer, probably a good part of the answer, when he says, "And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know." Here's an invitation to come to him before he comes back. And I want to say here to you this morning, my dear friend, if you're here without Christ and do not know the peace that passeth all understanding, you have never been born again. I don't care what your condition is, it couldn't have been any worse than this young punk at 25 and a half. Your condition could not be any worse. And he took me in, and he saved my soul, and he cleansed me, put a new song in my heart, came to dwell inside, and changed my life. There is no salvation, my dear friend, without a changed life. Don't tell me that you're saved. Don't tell me that you're born again. Don't tell me that God lives inside of you and your life hasn't changed. Your Christianity. I don't buy it. I got to bring a smile to some of you people's faces somehow. I've told all kinds of jokes. Nobody laughs. So, come on, turn loose. Just relax. This is a great time. Great crowd. You're among God's people. And here, my dear friend, if you're sitting here and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to tell you something. When he saved me, he cleaned me up. The minute I get up out of that altar, I didn't have any preacher come along and put his arm around. I made a poker deal with God. That's the only way I knew it, having just come out of the military. I had a poker deal with God, and that was it. And I got up, and you know what? I can't explain to you what it was, but I sure felt lighter. I felt better. I don't know what it was. I can't explain it to you. And you know what? Something else. You know what happens to a lot of people? They forget this. There's something else. I knew what was right and what was wrong. So do you, baby. You can't treat this. You can't fool this old dog. The only reason you sin is because you want to sin, amen? Now, that's not my message, but I got to get warmed up to the thing. You know, I just can't come up here. I had to come up here. Please forgive me, brother. Where is that music director? Dan, where are you? Invitation to come to him. And I want to say very frankly, he'll clean you up. Right, and she'll tell you the truth about the matter. There's a bridge over the space of time. And that bridge is the way. Now, I want to look at the disciples for a few moments, and I want you and I to look at this as your personal Savior, but the way your life, the life that you're living, and the daily devotions that you're having, and how the day that He comes for you. We're living in a day and age of Christians who are awe of God. There is not an awe of God. Do you understand this morning, my dear friend, and do I understand? Sense in that. Used to be a time I wouldn't mind tackling you, but now I can't fight and I can't run, and you're gone. Said, I don't believe that. Stick around. His view possible. He was a practical pessimist. And I want to say very frankly that we're living in a day to make me happy or make Brother Dan happy or make himself happy. You're wrong. He scheduled a series of... You missed a great time. You missed a wonderful time. It's not scheduled, my dear friend, to interfere with your problem, with your life. These meetings are scheduled singing this morning like you were constipated. You had that... It's because of your painful expression. I don't see how you can sing up the message. Get up here and finish it. Oh, I'm going to talk about a guy stealing your thunder. You seem slow to grasp the truth of what Jesus was saying. Worrying about the stock market. Don't worry about this and about that. Worrying for you. They beat you. They beat you. They beat you. I saw an old drunk. He was just staggering along the place, and I said, sir, I said, here, I wanted to tell you about Jesus Christ. Have a good time last night? Been there, done that. Oh, bless God, listen to me. Just like crazy, wouldn't you? And some of you 20-year-olds act like you got arthritis when saying the wrong word, never having to apologize. Always right in the presence of Almighty God. And if you recognize, if you remember, and you know your story, the life, and I've got to move on because I've got 37 Thomases, and you say it silently. And if you just come out and ask somebody, that's what this preacher is here for. That's what this even it just has not satisfied. You know why? He blurts out his ignorance. Whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? You know who he took it to? He took it to Jesus. MacArthur and not Douglas, he's dead. And the problems that you got. Now, they can't help you, but don't take it for gospel. Go to the one who can give you the answer. His name is what? Jesus. Say it again.
Jesus.
Boy, don't you know heaven rings when you say that? God says, boy, pay attention down to that group of people. They're talking about Jesus. Now, I've been kind of gentle with you folks over here, but I think you need it. If you've got a problem, if you've got a heartache, it's good to talk it over with another brother and sister in Christ, but get your answer from the book.
Amen.
Let's see that again. Let me see that again. Let me see, what does he say over there? Oh, 1611, okay. Say, what's that mean? If you don't know what that means, you're in trouble. In this church. Jesus says, you know. And the disciple says, we don't know. I don't know what's going on. Who was right, Jesus or Thomas? The disciples knew. They had heard in the past where Lord Jesus was going. It had made some kind of a lodging in their heads. Listen to me, please. I'm talking to you, please, from the bottom of my heart. It made some kind of a lodging in their heads. And so in that sense, they knew. It is this unused an unconscious knowledge of theirs to which Christ was appealing. And that's what I'd like to appeal to you this morning. He tries to draw it out of their consciousness. Into their consciousness. He says, you know. Come on, stop and think. You know. Hey, stop and think. You know. I had a third grade teacher. She was my third and fourth grade teacher. Her name was Miss Baird. What a teacher. And she'd give you a problem and you start to give an answer. Say, no, that's not the answer. And then you'd start to get embarrassed. She said, well, don't get embarrassed. You know, just stop and think. You know about the day that you got saved, don't you? Just stop and think. Just, will you please? Don't worry about what's going to go for dinner. And don't worry about the football game this afternoon. Let's just stop and think. Stop now, think, just think. That's what Jesus is telling them. He says, you know. They said, we don't know. And Jesus said, just get quiet and think about it. That's what meditation is. That's why most of us have problems in Christianity, in our Christian life, is because we don't stop to think. Now, this is not a rah, 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 fight team type message. I'm not going to get some wild and woolly stories. We're not going to stand in a chair and swing our Bibles around. But I feel that this is the kind of a message that we ought to close out this conference with. You know, she would say, hey, Mel, she called me something I hate to be called, Melvin. Melvin, you know, take your time, Melvin. You know, now think. You know what's wrong? We've forgotten, haven't we? Would somebody say amen? We have forgotten, haven't we? How much of we believe lies dim, undeveloped, and unused? Then God has to bring some agony of spirit. That's what he's going to do. Bring some agony of spirit in order to make us realize the riches we possess. My God shall supply all of our need according to His riches and glory. We know that, don't we? But do we really know it? Do we really believe it? I'm just talking to church. I'm talking to a church that has the potential of being one of the greatest churches on the face of the earth. I didn't say biggest. Biggest doesn't count with God. Well, one of the greatest churches on the face of the earth. I have noticed this year a sense of camaraderie that I have not noticed before. Now, some of you new folks have come in, you've lent that spirit too to the older folks here. And there's a camaraderie, there's a fellowship here, there's a love here, there's an understanding here that was not here perhaps at the very beginning. Or maybe it was here, but it was hidden. Now, some of you are missing out on it. You don't have the joy, 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 joy that was down in your heart when you first got saved. You say, are you as excited today as you were when you got saved? More. What do you think a 77-year-old man be out preaching yet? I ought to be sitting on a golf course someplace playing shuffleboard. Can you just see me doing that? Wouldn't that be just lovely? Said, well, where's Mel? I got a picture of him playing shuffleboard. Now, there's nothing wrong with shuffleboard for you, but there is for me. He says, you know the way. They said, we don't know the way. And my friend, you know the way how to live a Christian life. You know what you're supposed to be doing. You know that you're to read the Word of God. You know that you're to pray. You know that you're miserable because you're not doing that exactly as you ought to do it. You're letting some circumstances, regardless of what they may be. And I'm not trying to diminish or demean your circumstances. You have all kinds of heartaches and all kinds of problems. I know that. You can't live as long as I have and not experience most of the things that you're experiencing. I know what it is when they say to your wife, the possibility that she has cancer. I know what it is to take a baby girl and put her in a hole in the ground and say goodbye to Beth Ann, I'll see you in heaven. I know what it is to bury a mother. I've been through those things. I want to tell you something right here. There is an obstacle. There isn't an obstacle big enough in this world that ought to take your eyes off the fact that one day He's coming back. Amen. He is coming back. And I'm not trying to demean or diminish your problem. I know that you have difficulties, each of us. Especially us men. We're married. I didn't want to get too serious here. Everybody's starting looking at me very serious. Now what happened was there, did you see what I did? In a matter of about 15 seconds, I got your mind off the message and I got your mind on your problem. Amen? Didn't I? Now, if a dumbbell like me can do it, what do you think about the devil? All of a sudden, you got your mind off the message and off of seeing Christ and about Him coming back and about the joy that we're going to have when we all get up there, and you start thinking about that little problem of mine. That dumb ingrown toenail doesn't get straightened out. I don't know what I'm going to do. I have to give up my religion. There is no problem. There isn't any obstacle. There isn't anything in life that can come, my dear friend, that ought to take your mind off the one who loved you and gave Himself for you, because He experienced every one of them. His name is Jesus. She just got rid of your problem. She pulled the hair out of your head. I saw that. Hey, don't. I see everything. I see it all. And when John moves his right foot toward the aisle, I'll know it. That means he's going out that door. Would you please turn off everything right now? Let's get back to what we were talking about so that you might understand the things you believe. You know that you are a new creature in Christ Jesus after you got saved. Amen? Do you believe it? Have you meditated on it? Has it brought you to your knees, as the dear pastor said this morning, Brother Dan said this morning? Has it brought you to your knees when the dumb little things like too busy in the morning to get up when you get out of bed to get started in your day without reading God's book? Well, I took a look at the old back book. It thrilled me through and through. If you've been saved and born again, bound to thrill you too. I was reading along about going home. Glory! Found to my surprise, I'm already there in Jesus. I'm living on the other side. Amen? You thought my wife was the only one I could sing in our family, huh? Oh, I took a look in the old white book and it threw me through and through. And I'm not preaching, folks. I'm giving you from my heart. I believe it. Brother John said yesterday, he says, man, you expend as much energy at the end of your message as you do at the beginning of the message. Yes, I preach hard. Why do you preach hard? I'm hoping to have a heart attack and go home. If you nurses come over here and try to suck me back, I'll spit in your eye. You let me go, baby. Let me go. I get up there beyond Jupiter and start heading for that third heaven over there, and one of you bring me back, you're doomed for the rest of your life. The Sabaka curse will be on you. Who said that? Amen. Susan? Now I'm going to hit home because some of you experienced this. We equate busyness for holiness. And some of you experienced that a number of years ago. You're so busy, you didn't know whether you were coming or going. And now you feel burnout. You don't really want to do anything for God. It's a struggle. He's coming. He's coming. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Glory to God. I know what you said, Jesus, but I know better what you said. You said you're going to come back one of these days after you get that thing done up there and you're going to take me to be with you. And I'm ready. Are you? Yes. Well, that's four of us going. I don't know what the rest of you guys are going to do, but I never stepped on anybody's toes, believe me, but I mean, I wouldn't step on yours. You're too big. Come on, just think. Just think. Let's get spiritual. Let's get everything else out of our mind. Let's just think. That's what Jesus was saying. He says, "You don't know where I'm. You don't know where I'm going. You don't know where I'm going." He says, "Come on, think. I've told you before. That hasn't soaked in. You know, we come up here and we, Brother Dan and I, we preach something." And you guys say, oh, isn't that just wonderful? It's nothing different than what he said. It's just maybe I say it louder. And he says it more eloquently. Whatever that means. Think about what you believe. Will you do that this morning? Come on, we're in church. You got so much time to spend here. You're going to have to spend it here anyhow. Think about what you believe. Will you do that? Think about what you believe. You believe that Jesus Christ can save you? Think about it. If you believe that Jesus Christ did save you, think about it. Just think about it. Now let me ask you a harder question. You think if the one that saved you, I won't say guy, but that's terrible. You think the one that could save you can keep you? Think about that. Well, what do you got to face so long? You know, somebody told me one time, said, you happy in the Lord? I said, yeah. He said, why don't you tell your face? So I did the Christian thing. I smacked him one and went on my way, you know. But seriously, you know, come on. Come on now. Come on now. I mean, let's say that God was going to take it, and all of a sudden a fever broke and the baby started screaming and hollering, I want something to eat. And the first step to a light, you know. An accurate understanding of where the... It's a beautiful building. Yeah, but. That's motorboat religion. But. That's what we're very, 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 very familiar with that, aren't we? The next thing I want you to know, and I've only got a couple points. We started, what's that, 10 o'clock? You gave it to me at 5 minutes after 11. It's 10 minutes to 12 right now. No, it's not. Sit still, John. You got time. I want you to look for a few minutes with me at this great self-revelation which meets this unconscious knowledge. And here it is. It's one of the greatest verses in the Bible. Verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by the Catholic religion. Oh, excuse me. By the Grace Baptist Church. Oh, excuse me. By water baptism. By who? By Him. Now, would you think about that for a while? Just let that soak into your heart and soul. I am the way. Those two fantastic words, I am. You know, those are the words that God used in Exodus chapter 3. He said, Moses says, who shall I say sent me? I am sent you. Jesus said, I am. Over there when they started to crucify him, I am. Over they went. Context, in the context of this verse, it seems to me that the way is the main idea. This seems to be strengthened by, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So that truth and life explain the way. And we're sitting here this morning and we have to tough it out as Christians. And there is no reason in the world why you should have to tough anything out. There is no such philosophy of stoicism in Christianity. That's ridiculous. You've been reading too many comic books or too many philosophy books or watching too much TV. There is no room for stoicism in the life of a child of God. You don't tough anything out. Either that or the Bible's a liar, for he says, my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You know what else he says? There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, not suffering to be tempted above that you are able. But will with the temptation also make a way of escape. You know what's the matter with some of you folks here right now? I don't know. I'm not looking. I'm just looking around. This is old stuff. But you've never let it permeate your soul. You know when a message on Jesus Christ or salvation or the care of Christ becomes old? You know when it becomes old? When you quit thinking about it. Well, I want something new. I'm looking for something new. I'm looking for something sensational. Well, buy a Firestone tire. That'll give you all the sensation you want, baby. I shouldn't have said that, but that's the first thing that popped into my mind. A couple of other things have popped into my mind, but I've been warned by Brother Pete that I'm not allowed to use that kind of language around here. That's the truth, my dear friend. When you've got to have something new out of the book, it means that you've never experienced the old. Because I'll tell you, if you've ever experienced the old, if you've ever experienced the keeping power of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've never experienced the time that when there's difficulties that you could come, my dear friend, if you've ever experienced it, you'll never forget it. And you won't need anything new. You just keep chewing on that thing, chewing on that thing. I had a piece of steak last night. I didn't want to swallow it. I'm just chew. The juice had squirted up. And chew and chew. No matter how good it was, though, after a while, it started to taste like shoe leather because all the good was out of it. But I'm going to tell you something. You chew on Jesus Christ and just chew on what he's done for you, it'll never lose its flavor. Never lose its flavor. You believe that? Amen. You believe that?
Amen.
Come on, get with the message here. I'm getting excited. I tell you something. You won't believe this, but I got up at 3 o'clock this morning for this message. Now, I don't know whether I should say it or not, but I'm going to say it. Now, listen to me. You want to take it wrong? Take it wrong. Help yourself. Tough apples. It don't bother me in a bit. I took $60 out of my pocket the other night and gave it to a young missionary. He was just here for the service. I didn't know if he had enough gas money to get home, so I thought, well, God just impressed me. I was impressed to give him 40. God was impressed to give him 60. You know, you're trying to be silent about the thing, and I squeezed in. I pulled out some 20s, and I gave it to him, and there was three of them. I said, oh, God, why did I give him that much? No, I didn't. Last night, I got an envelope. Not from somebody in this church. Somebody sent an envelope. I hadn't done him any favors. I hadn't done anything. You know what that $60 that I gave to that missionary is worth today? $120. So what are you going to do with that $120? Well, I've invested 20 of it already, and I'm put the other 100 someplace else, and next time I come back, if I ever come back, I'll tell you how that 120 grew. See, some of you don't believe that. And you know you don't believe that? That's the reason your life is miserable. I mean, it's exciting. I got $120. I got $100 left. I won't step on it. I promise you that. And I'm going to invest it, and I'm going to see what God does with it. Getting quieter than a turkey farm on Thanksgiving afternoon around here, isn't it, huh? You just never had fun with God. That's your problem. You're sad and miserable, unhappy with my state in life. The bum that I married, or the broad that I married, or this and this and that, and so on and so forth. And you know, I'm coming tonight to hear the message. I want to find out how far I have to go in a fight before it quits being fun and starts being sin. You know, you can get into a good fight, but a fight, they're not that bad. Boy, is it fun to make up. But I want to go know how far I can go in a fight. Well, never mind. I'll get back to the message. How'd I get on that thing there? That's what's called attention span breaker. We are inadequate. All of our labors are superficial because we will not let his word penetrate our unconscious knowing. That's what's the matter with some of you folks. You're never going to be happy anywhere. You'll bounce from place to place. You'll follow some man after another. You won't be happy until you settle on one thing. This is the place where you belong. This is the place where you're going to get to know more and more about Christ. And the more you get to know about him, that was Paul's cry, that I may know him, that I may know him, that I may know him. Jesus here separates himself from all other men. I am the way. He declares, I am. And this he says with Calvary around the corner. I am the way. I am the truth. The truth is not what I say. The truth is a person. Jesus Christ. It's not just my words. His whole life and character and personality is the true representation. Within human conditions of the invisible God. He is substantiating John chapter 1. And you know that, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. He is God. Think about that. Will you take all the problems out of your mind for a while? Can you do that? Can you take that little old pity party out of your hip pocket and throw it in the ditch someplace and just think about him who experienced everything you've ever experienced or will ever experience? Sinless, perfect. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's substantiating Colossians chapter 2 when he says, I am the image of the invisible God. Church, wake up! That's our message! That's what we ought to be speaking. That's what we ought to be preaching. That's what we ought to be showing. That's what we ought to be manifesting. He is God. We walk out of this place and the world says, well, looks like they had another meeting over there. We ought to go Pentecostal. They come out of here shouting and flipping and flopping and jinking and jinking. He got out without me seeing him. You can't beat that John Gowan. Let me get him just a second here. He says he's the way. And he's the truth. Now don't pay attention to him over there. I'm better looking than he is anyhow. Look over here at me. And I am the life. Not only is there a physical and intellectual side of God, but there is the action side of God. I am the life. We were dead. God in Christ quickens us. In truth, he is the revealer. In life, he is the quickener. It's no use to make a path if it starts from the cemetery, amen? You can't start a life from the cemetery. That ends it there. But let me show you something. Here's a paradox. The life that I now live in Christ began in the cemetery. Up from the grave he arose. Except the corner we die. Fall into the ground and die. It cannot bring forth life. He is the life. And the only way for him to give me life was to die physically. Will you think about that for just a moment? Consider that. We've sung about it. Oh, what a good job the music director did for a change. And no, I'm just kidding. What a good job he did pointing you to Christ. So easy to preach a message when you have that kind of introduction. I am the life. I am the life. I am the life. It started at the cemetery. Glory to God, the pathway doesn't start at the cemetery. It starts from an empty tomb. Will you think about that for a while? My friend, the eternal word works through all the earth in ways beyond our comprehending. We need to get the word out. The word will reveal. Think. He is the true light. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Take Christ for the way. Listen to me, please. Take Christ for the way or wander in the wilderness for the rest of your life. And then for all of eternity. Take Christ for the truth or be given over to the influences and the insufficiencies of mere natural, political, and intellectual truths. Think about that. Think about that. Why are you any different than those young sailors on that ship that were blown out into eternity? Why are you here this morning? Why isn't your name in the obituary column? Think about that. I read in the paper this week about a man that was working down the ditch, doing everything fine, and stuck for air and got nothing but dirt. Why wasn't that you? Think about this. In closing, I really am closing thought. Jesus accepts their ignorance. Look at verse 7. He accepts their ignorance. They did not know what they thought they knew as well after 3.5 years himself. And this church that I had not seen before. But some of you are not in on it. It's not the problem. It's not the problem at all. It's not the problem, folks. Let me ask you a question here. Will somebody raise his hand that's over? I know it won't be a woman. Haven't you experienced the blessings of God, honey? How about you? Could you stand up, sir? Little Beth Anna be, what, honey? About 42 years old now, wouldn't she? I got out to the cemetery and undertaker says, well, we'll take care of it from here. I said, you take care of nothing. I'll see you, honey. Boy, I'm going to miss you because of that life that started from the cemetery, from an open tomb. No Father, but we do not know the Christ. And some of us know the book, but we don't know the author. And some of us got it all torn. My dear friend, one of these days, it's going to be all over. We're going home, Dad, one of these days. I'm doing my best to beat you there, but I don't know what. Doctor keeps telling me, he says, you got a heart. Well, I've been accused of not having a heart, so. Your knowledge of Christ lies in its being a knowledge of God. God the Father brought near to us. And this eliminates any and all denominations, religion, and so on and so forth. If you know anything about Jesus Christ rightly, this is what you know about him. That in him you see God. Preacher talked about the awesomeness of God. And there is no awe of God today. And yet that's true of people who claim to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. You tell me, brother, how that could be possible. It's not possible. If you know Jesus Christ, you know God the Father. He said so. Though he is teacher, guide, and the epitome of ethics and everything else, it's worthless unless seeing him, we see him as God. And that's the vision which dispels ignorance. Then our Lord passes on to another thing in the closing, and that's it. From henceforth, he says in verse 7. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. You've seen him in the wisdom and gentleness and deep truth here in this place. When you see the life of Jesus Christ, you see God. Please think about that. In the agony and submission of Gethsemane, you see God. Please think about that. In the meek patience before the judges, you see God. The omnipotent God, yet meek as he stood before earthly judges. In the silent acceptance of his shame, you see God. Christ reveals the new side of God and yet the old side. It is the dying Christ that reveals the living God. Think about that, would you please? Just please think about that. He is your only way to God. Seek the Father through Christ alone. Think about that, would you please? He is your truth. Take him to your heart and by patient meditating and meditation and continual faithfulness, enrich yourself with him. Acquaint thyself with him and be at peace. Judgment is coming on America and on the universe. And I'm through. We know what our task is. And this church stands as a shining light in a darkened world. Don't lose it. Don't lose it. Don't lose it. Think, church. Do you know God through Jesus Christ? Do your neighbors know? I read this illustration and I close with it. Tells it about as well as I can put it. What is your life before the world? A man stood in church one New Year's Eve. As the story goes, I wasn't there. I have to take the man's word for it. He got up in the church service. They were giving testimonies. He says, I'm a born-again Christian, as most of you know. I just joined the church here recently. He said, I want to give this testimony. You listen carefully, would you please? And then choose this day. He says, my wife and I were married, and we had a sweet little baby girl. My wife was a born-again Christian. She trusted Christ as her personal Savior. I didn't want any part of it. She went her way to church, and I'd stay home and read the newspapers. And I went to the bars at night, and she stayed home and prayed for me. This went on for some time. He says, our daughter grew up to be about 14 or 15 years of age. He says, my wife took as much as she could, and she died of a heart attack, just brokenhearted, praying for me. He says, so I began to take care of the little daughter. He says, I took her every place I went. I'd go to the saloon, she'd go with me. I'd go to the nightclub, she'd go with me. I took her every place with me. He said, I went to work one day, and he says, my little girl went to school, and he says, I got a phone call. He said, hurry up and get back to the hospital. Your little girl's been in an auto accident. Some of the kids picked her up to take her home. There's a bad smash up, and he says, it doesn't look good. You better get here. He got there, and they took him into the intensive care. And she was in a coma. And he's looking at her. He said, wake up, honey. She couldn't wake up. The doctor says, I don't think she's ever going to come to. And then he said, the miracle of all miracles happened. She opened her eyes and she said, hi, Daddy. And he said, hey, honey, how are you? She said, Daddy, I think I'm dying. Feels funny. He said, no, you're not, honey. He says, you just hang on. Daddy's going to get the best doctors. We're going to get you through. Daddy, I think I'm dying, but I'd like to ask a question. He said, don't waste your energy on asking questions. Please, don't waste your energy asking questions. Just stay there, and you're going to get well, but save your energy for getting well. She says, Daddy, I got to ask this question. Please, Daddy, would you answer for me? He says, I'll do anything you can, honey. She said, I'm going to die. I know that. But let me ask you a question, Daddy. Should I go Mommy's way, or should I go your way? Should I go Mommy's way? And said, I go your way. And he said, before I had a chance to answer, she went into a coma. Went out into eternity, and I was able to answer her. I am now a born-again Christian, but I don't know which way my little girl went, Mommy's way or my way. There's one who died on Calvary's cross and went to hell for you. His name is Jesus, and he said, I am the way. And I'm asking you tonight, this morning as a church, which way are you going to go? Which way are you going to go? The grumbling, complaining way, the shifting way. Things are a little bit better over. You know why the grass is greener on the other side of the fence? The guy takes care of it a little bit harder. Come on now. What's this church going to do? I have preached my heart out just as my brother has preached his heart out. I don't know what else to tell you. He said, I wish I could tell. Oh, I wish I'd give anything in the world if I knew whether she went Mommy's way or my way, even though I'm a Christian now. I don't know for sure whether I'll ever see Mommy and my little daughter in heaven. I know I'll see Mommy. And I want to say this to you. At the judgment seat of Christ, I want to see all of you there. Boy, listen, he puts that arm on you and says, well done. Well done. Which way are you going? Are you going the way of troubles and concerns? Or are you going the way that he promised? I am the way, the truth, and the life, and he's coming back. That's where this church sits. This church sits right there. I believe that this church has the greatest potential. And I'm not just saying it. The greatest potential of reaching this community for Jesus Christ of any place that I know. There's a warmth here. But some of you are a little lackadaisical. You're not with it. You see, I've known some of you for many years. And I've known some of you since you've come to this church. And you ain't kidding me. You ain't like you used to be. You ain't kidding me. You don't feel it. I can tell it. And it isn't the preacher's fault. It isn't the church's fault. It sure isn't God's fault. You say, well, if you had the problem, it's not the fault of your problems. It's the fault of your relationship with Jesus Christ. Let's hear you sing like Paul sang when he was in jail. And God started a rock and roll band and knocked the gates apart, and the old jail and his family got saved. It was worth a night, Paul says. It was worth a night in jail to see a family get saved. Some of us wouldn't walk across the street, would we? Some of us haven't even prayed for this pastor. I'm getting hard on you. I think I have the right to. You made some promises when you came to this place, some of you old-timers, and you haven't kept it. And you know what your complaint is? Well, I've been worked to death before. Well, just because you look like you've been worked to death doesn't mean that there isn't some more energy in you. Tis only one life. 'Twill soon be past. How many of you know that I took a look in the old black book? Can you sing it with me? I took a look in the old black book, and it thrilled me through and through. And if you've been saved and born again, it's bound to thrill you too. I was reading along about going home and found to my surprise, I'm already there in Jesus. I'm living on the other side. You living on the other side, you're living on this side. You just after what you can get here? Has there been a total commitment? Maybe some of you need to make that this morning. I don't know. I wasn't even going to give an invitation. But you know what? The saddest thing in the world of all that preaching, there might be somebody here that you have never been saved. You're going to bust hell wide open. I don't know how else to say it. I heard a story about a man who was lost. Young man Todd, the singer, told us that story, right? His daddy was a helicopter pilot. And one of the missions that he had to fly was to go over a volcano in some little island, someplace in Panama or something. And over that island, he said the thing was bubbling. He said, and the people were screaming and they were trapped in it stuff. He said some people were head down in that lava. They were gone. Some people were waist in that lava. And he said they reached and pulled them out. And he said the lower part of the body would stay there and the upper part would come out. He said, I don't think you ought to talk that way in a pulpit. Oh, you'll see more than that on TV this afternoon. Don't kid this old dog. He says he looked at that and he saw those people screaming. He saw men trying to preach and pull them up here and pull them out there. I remember the time that we went to a crash of a B-17 bomber overseas and tried to pull the guy out of the plane. When they got a hold of his arm, they just peeled all the meat off, trapped and burnt to death. That man says he saw that thing. He says, and 2 weeks later, he went to church. Todd tells us, some preacher was preaching on hell. He said, oh, man, if that's hell, I don't want to go. I'm going to tell you something, my friend. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your person, what do you want to mess around with? You know that's what it's going to be. Let me tell you something. You either don't want to believe it or you're a masochist. If you know that without Christ you're going to die and go to hell, said, I don't want to believe it. But that won't change it. See, that doesn't change it. See, what you and I believe doesn't change this, what God says. Mark, what do you think this church is built for? That you might know. Don't tell me that garbage that you're putting in your veins is there. Anybody here would say, Pastor, well, I am not saved. I do not know the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. I would like to be saved this morning. I really would. Just like to know how I should pray. Here's my hand. Please remember me in prayer. Please don't miss it. Anybody? Raise your hand, please. I'm not saved. I'd like to be saved. And they've had the excuses, Lord, and we all do. We all have them, Lord. I've got them. But you have given them and what you've blessed them with. And Father, there are some of God's people here. Perhaps they're looking for something else. They start singing whatever it is. Don't have to have a songbook. You sing it and that's it. You need to come forward here. You need to make. Don't miss the opportunity. What if it were today? Where would you be? Anybody else?